The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Nicole Sandler Show. Questioning authority daily. And that could be the very reason why YouTube is upset. Hey, YouTube. The music bed you hear beneath my voice is from a broadcast sound library that I pay for and have the receipts. So I've got your copyright violation right here. And now, here's Nicole.
Oh, man. So here we are. It's day two of the question and answer session of the impeachment trial of Donald Trump. Yesterday, when we came on the air, we told you that Mitch McConnell had announced to his conference that they didn't have the votes to stop witnesses from testifying. I don't know that that's the case anymore. I'm feeling a bit dejected and depressed. We're going to get to the Q&A going on today in a moment. I don't know about you. I could use some funny. This, I'm going to play for you a video that I pulled off of Twitter last week. And I just haven't had a chance to play it for you yet. It got pulled off of Twitter because of a copyright violation. Go figure. I have no idea what they were copywriting. It was put together by a guy. I forgot his Twitter handle. It's like Not Real Elmo or something like that. So you can guess. Yes, it is Elmo. And he's got a few things to say about Donald Trump and the impeachment. So we'll do this. I apologize for those of you listening audio only. The singing is not the best, but listen to the words because there's meaning behind them. All right, here we go.
Hi, everybody. It's Elmo. Hey, let's talk about our narcissistic, racist president. He got impeached. Here's how. Sondland, ambassador to EU, Gordon Sondland. Swore they're all in the loop, Gordon Sondland. Pence and Pompeo to Mulvaney, Rudy, and Perry Fitman. A decorated hero, Colonel Fitman. Witness the quid pro quo, Colonel Fitman. Like Hill, Taylor, and Holmes testified, exposing Trump's lies. Oh boy, the aides approved, so yo, why call Ukraine? Kiev is desperate, so why call Ukraine? Trump's and Zelensky, here's your cash to enjoy. If you go after Joe and his boy, it's called extortion, yo. Why call Ukraine? I need a favor, though. Why call Ukraine? Miss Yovanovitch made the press happy when she testified to Congress. Biden, leading all of the polls, made Trump frightened. He got three amigos to help bribe him. So they lie about Joe, did not know the whistle would blow. Trump said, find the server to live and take Igor. Look all over Kiev and take with you. Ranking member Nunes, but now they got clipped by the feds. Oh boy, they hid the transcript, yo. Why call Ukraine? And they now left has flipped. Why call Ukraine? The founding fathers knew, like an article too, that the briber must be removed.
Okay, so it ends. Whoops. It ends rather suddenly. I give the guy credit because the lyrics were great. The singing was off, but it was Elmo. What do you expect? Anyway, hope you got a little giggle out of that. I hope you're, I see. Okay. So here we are. I'm going to bring up the audio. It's Thursday. Howie Klein will be here in just a little while at the bottom of the hour. I do want to, because what's going on is history in the making. And so let me share with you. We'll bring up some of the Q&A for now. Hopefully they'll do like they did yesterday and take a break around the bottom of the hour, at which time we'll bring on Howie Klein. But let's get to what they're saying now, just because it's such a shitstorm.
in 2018. Real wages have gone up by 8% for the low-income workers.
The question is, does the president have the best interests of America and his citizens in mind? What a ridiculous question is that? So it's propaganda. I don't even know who this is. This is obviously one of Trump's lawyers. I am not going to. I'm not going to torture you with that. So while this guy is talking, whoever he is, I don't know. Let me share with you a couple of things that have happened today. We know the impeachment trial of Donald Trump entered this new phase yesterday as senators began questioning Trump's legal team and House managers, mostly about the allegation that Trump withheld support and aid to pressure Ukraine into announcing an investigation into Joe Biden and his son Hunter. In what was probably the most surreal argument of the entire trial so far, Alan Dershowitz, remember, Alan Dershowitz is the guy who, you know, represented O.J. Simpson, represented Epstein, what's his name, Epstein, and, you know, probably had his way with a lot of teenage girls at Epstein's behest. This is the guy Donald Trump has arguing his case. But, okay, so put that aside for a moment. Alan Dershowitz said that the president could basically do anything, even trade military aid for political favors to help him win re-election, as long as he thought that getting re-elected was in the national interest and it wouldn't be impeachable. Here's a sample of, hold on, let me move this over here. Here's a little bit of Dershowitz's argument, which was quite, I'm having computer issues. I'm not supposed to have computer issues. This is the new flawless computer. All right. So here's a little bit of dirt. Oh, you know what? Now I think the Democrats are coming up again. I'll bring it back up when the Democrats talk, and I will turn it off when they're filibustering and when the Republicans are lying to us. Anyway, you know what? While we're waiting for the next question, let me play for you just the 30 seconds of here's Alan Dershowitz basically saying that the president can do anything, that would be anything, to win re-election.
Every public official that I know believes that his election is in the public interest.
Really?
Mostly
every
you're
public
right.
official. No.
Your election is in the public interest. And if a president does something which he believes will help him get elected in the public interest, that cannot be the kind of quid pro quo that results in impeachment.
So Alan Dershowitz goes on the floor of the U.S. Senate during the impeachment trial of the president to basically say what Nixon said was right. Uh-oh, and my sound clip, if the president does it, that doesn't mean it's not illegal. I don't know why that clip is missing. All right, let's go back to the trial because Gerald Nadler is speaking now. Let's hear what this is about.
We have voted to impeach the president.
Yeah.
For, among other things, Article 2 of the impeachment is total defiance of House subpoenas. And the president announced in advance, I will defy all the subpoenas. What does this mean? It means there's no information to Congress. It means a claim of monarchical dictatorial power. If Congress has no information, it cannot act. If the president can defy, now, he can dispute certain specific claims, you can claim privilege, et cetera, but to defy categorically all subpoenas, to announce in advance you're going to do that, and to do it is to say that Congress has no power at all. Only the executive has power. That's why Article 2 is impeaching him for abuse of Congress.
Yep.
That's why, for much lesser degree of offense, Richard Nixon was impeached for abuse of Congress, for the same defiance of any attempt to by the Congress to investigate. But this is, and what are the consequences? The consequences, if this is to be, if he's to get away with it, is that any subpoena you vote in the future, any information
They're
you
worthless.
Want in the future from any
right.
future president
yep.
may be denied you.
Absolutely.
With no excuses.
None.
Announce in advance, I'll defy all the subpoenas. It eviscerates Congress and establishes the Department, the executive department is a total dictatorship. That's the consequences.
That is. Now, that's where we are now.
Talk about, and the motives. The motives are clearly dictatorial. But I want to also take a point, since I have the floor, to answer a question, to comment on a question that Senator Collins and Senator Murkowski asked yesterday. And they asked about the question of mixed motives. What if, how do you define, how do you deal with a deed, with a president who may have a corrupt motive and a fine motive? And how do you deal with it?
Yeah.
And Professor Dershowitz said, well, you have to look at the, you have to mix, you have to weigh the balances. Nonsense. Nonsense. We never, in American law, look at decent motives if you can prove a corrupt motive. If I am offered a bribe, and I accept the bribe for corrupt motive, I will not be heard in defense to say, oh, I would have voted for the bill anyway. It was a good bill. You don't inquire into other motives. Maybe you had good motives. But once the corrupt motive and the corrupt act was established, there is no comparison. All of this is just nonsense to point away from the fact that the president has been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, and the defenders don't even bother really to defend. They just come out with distractions. He's been proven beyond a reasonable to have abused his power by violating the law to withhold military aid from a foreign country, to extort that country into helping his reelection campaign by slandering his opponent.
Hello.
Corrupt? No question.
No question.
Violation of the law?
No question.
No question. Factually? No question. They don't even make a real attempt to deny it. Everything is a distraction, and the one chief distraction is once you prove a corrupt act, that's it. You never measure the degree of maybe had decent motives, too. So Professor Dershowitz, in talking about that, in talking about the absolute power of the presidency, was just absent from American law or any kind of Western law.
You think? Yes, he was.
Thank you, Mr. Manager.
All right. What's up next? Let's
see. Mr. Chief Justice. The senator from Georgia.
Oi.
I sent a question to the desk for the President's counsel on behalf of myself, Senator Ernst, and Senator Bressler.
Oh, boy.
Thank you.
We may cut away from this one. All right. So now this whole process, talk about wasting time. For some reason, they have the senator say, I'm sending a question. Duh. Then they have to walk the question down from the seats to the Chief Justice, who then reads the question.
The question from Senator Perdue, Ernst and Barrasso, for counsel for the president, is as follows. Please summarize the House of Representatives' three-stage investigation and how the president was denied due process stage.
But you know what? I reject the premise of the question because the president was not denied due process at all. The lies that they're telling by way of these questions are so frustrating. So here's what I want to do. I want to go back to, I played for you before we were interrupted by Jerry Nadler. I played for you a little bit of Dershowitz's bullshit statement yesterday that basically the president can do anything he wants to do if it's in the service. Trying to paraphrase this is difficult because it's such bullshit. If it's as long as it's in the service of getting him reelected because it's in the public's interest. Seriously? So here's what I tried to play before. If I'm able to do this, moving things around on my computer here. So Alan Dershowitz was arguing the Richard Nixon argument.
Well, when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
That's exactly what he was saying.
Exactly.
By definition, exactly. Again, here's what Dershowitz said.
Every public official that I know believes that his election is in the public interest. And mostly you're right. Your election is in the public interest. And if a president
in your mind
does something which he believes will help him get elected in the public interest, that cannot be the kind of quid pro quo that results in impeachment.
Okay, so Adam Schiff thankfully responded. And by the way, Adam Schiff is doing most of the talking today, which is a good thing because he's the most he's the best at it of the seven on the House manager side. Here's how he responded, a little bit of how he responded to Alan Dershowitz's ridiculous argument.
For legitimate reasons, you might say to a governor of a state, hey, governor of a state, you should chip in more towards your own disaster relief. But if the president's real motive in depriving a state of disaster relief is because that governor won't get his attorney general to investigate the president's political rival, are we ready to say that the president can sacrifice the interests of the people of that state, or in the case of Medvedev, the people of our country, because all quid pro quos are fine? It's carte blanche. Is that really what we're prepared to say with respect to this president's conduct or the next? Because if we are, then the next president of the United States can ask for an investigation of you.
Yep.
They can ask for help in their next election from any foreign power.
Yep. Yeah,
and
there are
the
no
argument
more
will
rules.
Be made, nope, Donald Trump was acquitted for doing exactly the same thing. Therefore, it must not be impeachable. Now, bear in mind that efforts to cheat an election are always going to be in proximity to an election.
Yeah.
And if you say you can't hold a president accountable in an election year where they're trying to cheat in that election, then you are giving them carte blanche.
Hello.
So all quid pros are not the same. Some are legitimate and some are corrupt. And you don't need to be a mind reader to figure out which is which. For one thing, you can ask John Bolton.
Ooh, for one thing, you can ask John Bolton. Yeah, you can. So here we are. So that was a clip from yesterday. Adam Schiff responding to Alan Dershowitz's ridiculous assertion, basically that the president can do anything in service of getting reelected because he believes it's in the best interests of the nation. Are you fucking kidding me? This guy is a Harvard law professor. Harvard, you need to do some house cleaning. The man is sick in the head. They're arguing everything is this is opposite world. We're in opposite world. And we see the republic crumbling before our eyes. I my stomach is in knots thinking about where this is heading. It's sickening. By the way, then Alan Dershowitz, hearing all the criticism he's getting, he says the media twisted my words. Well, it's hard to twist your words when they're aired live. MSNBC, CNN, C-SPAN, to name a few, all carried it live. We heard exactly what Alan Dershowitz said. There was no misconstruing. We heard what he said, and today he's trying to walk it back. So he says one thing on the floor of the Senate and another thing in interviews afterwards. It doesn't work that way. Oh, wait a minute. I guess it does, because we are in this weird nether world where in is out and up is down and nothing fucking makes sense. So yesterday, the Chief Justice blocked a question from Rand Paul in which he named the alleged whistleblower whose complaint about Trump's call with the Ukrainian president prompted this entire investigation to begin with. So Rand Paul was warned, don't go there. Guess what he did today? He did it again. He presented a question. John Roberts said, I'm not reading that question. So that happened. All right, here's another question coming up. Here's John Roberts.
If the hold on aid to Ukraine was meant to be kept secret until the president could gather internal U.S. government information on Ukraine corruption and European cost-sharing, then is there any documentary evidence of this? For example, is there any evidence that the president was briefed on those issues by the NSC, DOD, or State Department during the period of the hold in the summer of 2019, or any evidence that he requested specific information on anti-corruption reform measures in Ukraine? Mm-hmm. Prior to releasing the aid on September 11, 2019, did the president order any changes to administration policy to address corruption in Ukraine or burden sharing with our European allies.
Of course not, because this had nothing to do with corruption in Ukraine. All it had to do with was Donald Trump wanting to smear Joe Biden, wanting to have the new president of Ukraine, Zelensky said, they opened an investigation into him.
For that question.
All right, here's the
answer. Let's just take a moment. And
it's not Adam Schiff responding for the Democrats. This is Jason Crow.
Should have looked like. Because, you know, as we've already established and as President's Counsel has conceded and we've conceded, is this does happen, right? There is a legitimate policy process for review and for determination on hold, because there is indeed legitimate policy reasons to hold aid. And we've never said that corruption is not one of those, or burden sharing wouldn't be one of those. What we're saying is there's no evidence that in what we are talking about today that the president was concerned or engaged that process. So what would normally happen is Congress would come together, as we did. We passed appropriations bills, and we made a determination that funding was appropriate for the aid, which 87 members of the Senate did this past year. The president would then rely on the advice of government experts from the National Security Council, the Department of Defense, the State Department, and the Office of Management and Budget regarding that aid. That's the interagency process that we've talked so much about, the interagency process that we went through earlier last year, and at the conclusion of that interagency process, it was determined that it had met all of the conditions for the aid, and all the agencies determined that it should go forward. The president would then seek permission from Congress that he intended to, would normally, if there was a reason, the president would go back and seek permission from Congress to hold the aid. So let me repeat that. If there were a reason to hold it, the president, and President Trump has done this in
the past.
They
need to go back to Adam Schiff. I'm sorry.
As President Obama and prior presidents would go back to Congress under pre-described processes and make sure that they're not violating the Empowerment Control Act, and seek permission to hold it. That did not happen. Congress would then weigh in on the request by either approving or denying the president's request. And then unless Congress specifically approves the president's request, the aid must be made available. Of course, none of that happened. In this instance, a hold was put in place. We don't know exactly when, because the president.
No, they don't know exactly when. And that was a question asked yesterday that the Republicans couldn't answer the question.
And in fact, the only one within the United States government who apparently knows why that hold was put into place is President's Counsel, who tried to tell us last night why he thinks the hold was put into place, but nobody else knows. So, yes, the answer is if there was a legitimate policy process put in place, there will be a lot of information about burden sharing, about corruption, about any of the other concerns to which we have no evidence. And if burden sharing, to the last point of the question, was a concern, then the person who should have been asked to discuss those concerns with the EU and our European partners would have been Ambassador Sondland, because he is the United States ambassador to the European Union. And not once did President Trump go to Ambassador Sondland and say, discuss these issues with the EU and the Europeans, saying they need to provide more money. Not once did that happen.
No,
it didn't
happen because that wasn't the issue.
Because it wasn't the real concern.
There you go.
All the evidence shows the president withheld taxpayer money, foreign aid, to our partner at war, to coerce them to start a political investigation to benefit his 2020 election campaign. That is what the evidence shows, and that's why we are still here. And there is one person that can provide additional information on that, and that is Ambassador Bolton.
Oh,
and
him.
Yes, it is still a good time.
He's ready to
subpoena
testify.
Ambassador Bolton.
Go figure. Bolton
you,
has
Manager.
Said he will testify.
Mr. Chief Justice.
Oh, God,
the
Susan Collins.
Maine.
Oh, my God.
I send a question to the desk on behalf of myself and Senators Crapo, Blunt, and Rubio.
Oh,
thank
God.
You.
Okay, this should be interesting. So now it's going to take 30 seconds to walk the damn question from Susan Collins' desk up to Chief Justice John Roberts so he can read it. But I guess the reason is apparent in the Rand Paul thing, because if Rand Paul had been allowed to read his question, he would have outed the whistleblower.
Question from Senator Collins and the other senators for both parties.
Yes.
Are there legitimate circumstances under which a president could request a foreign country to investigate a U.S. citizen, including a political rival, who is not under investigation by the U.S. government?
No.
If so, what are they and how do they apply to the present case?
Oh, good question.
The House goes first.
So they're asking this of both sides. So each side gets 2.5 minutes to answer the question. The House managers go first, and it looks like Adam Schiff is back. Good.
Mr. Chief Justice, Senator, it would be hard for me to contemplate circumstances where that would be appropriate, where it would be appropriate for the President of the United States to seek a political investigation of an opponent. One of the, I think, most important post-Watergate reforms was to divorce decisions about specific cases, specific prosecutions, from the White House to the Justice Department to build a wall.
A wall?
One of the many
the wall
norms
blew
that
over,
has broken
by the
down
way.
Under this presidency is that wall has been obliterated, where the president has affirmatively and aggressively sought to investigate his rivals. I cannot conceive of circumstances where that is appropriate. It may be appropriate for the Justice Department, acting independently and in good faith, to initiate investigation. There's a process for doing that. We heard testimony about that. You can make requests under the Mutual Legal Assistance Treaty, the MLAT process, when a foreign country has evidence involving a criminal case involving a U.S. person. There is a legitimate way to do that. That didn't happen here.
Nope.
In fact, when Bill Barr's name was first revealed, when that transcript was brought to light, the Justice Department immediately said, we have nothing to do with this. We have nothing to do with this. Here, this particular domestic political errand was being done by the president's personal lawyer. I wanted to just follow up also, while I can, Senator, on my colleague's comments in terms of mixed motives. If you conclude the president acted with mixed motives, some of them corrupt and forbidden, some of them legitimate, you should vote to convict. That principle is deeply rooted in our legal tradition. It is commonplace in civil and criminal law going back centuries. For example, in describing the standard for corrupt motive for obstruction, the Seventh Circuit rejected any requirement that a defendant's only or even main purpose was to obstruct the due administration of justice. Instead, the court explained, a defendant is guilty if his motives included any corrupt, forbidden goals. That case, United States v. Cueto, which I cited earlier, is not only relevant here, but that case was argued by Professor Dershowitz, and he lost. He made the argument he's made, and the president's lawyers made today. They lost
that case,
and for a good reason.
Oh, my God.
It's contrary to the history of our legal traditions. If someone, and this is the founders, were concerned, for example, that a president might be charged with bribing members of the Electoral College.
Now his time's up. All right, so I actually want to hear the Republicans' answer to this question. The question was, is there any reason a president should ever go to a foreign entity to get dirt on a political opponent? This guy's going to bullshit
Chief
his
Justice,
way through it.
Senators,
thank you for the question. Every time they say thank you
I'd
for
like
that
to
question.
Start by pointing out that the question sort of assumes that there is a request for an investigation in a foreign
there
country
was.
Of a United States person.
There was.
I'd just like to bring it back, though, here.
All right,
to
I forget it.
The transcript
never
of
mind. I'm not even going to listen to him because it wasn't a transcript of the phone call. It was a memo about the phone call, and I'm not going to listen to him lie. It is, today is, Thursday. And it's a day that we talk with Howie Klein. So this is going on. We'll go back to it if necessary. Just so you know, this is going to go on all day and probably late into the night. What's going to happen here? Let me see if I can get this for you. If I can find my notes on it before Howie comes on. If I can find it. No, I can't find my notes. But basically what's going to happen is this is going to go all day. They're going to finish their Q&A. And then tomorrow they move into, here it is. They'll move into, well, okay. The debate over whether they should call witnesses. Actually, tomorrow is going to go really late. I don't know how late it's going to go today. I guess we'll find out. Sorry, I'm a bit discombobulated because this is also disconcerting. It's we're watching our republic be demolished. We're watching it be dismantled, you know, piece by piece by these Republicans who put party and ambition over the Constitution, over the country. And it's really, you know, look, you know, if you've been listening to this program for a while, you know, I went through a really rough time after after Trump was elected, or after he took office, I guess is the more accurate way to put it. And it took everything in me to sort of scratch and claw my way back to some semblance of sanity. I'm not saying I'm fine. I take it day to day, hour to hour. And my psyche is pretty fragile, and I'm not alone. There are millions of people in the same boat I'm in. And now, watching this all unravel the way it has, it's all coming back. So I'm doing my best to hold my shit together, but I really fear for what will happen tomorrow onward. Anyway, with that, I don't know about you, but I could actually use a Dirty Debbie right about now.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh my goodness. Hi, Howie Klein.
Hello, Nicole.
Are you watching this stuff? Are you watching the question and answer sessions?
No. Watched a little bit of it last night. Stupid.
It's really frustrating because the gaslighting that we've seen for the last 3 years is on, I mean, it's happening on the floor of the United States Senate. Alan Dershowitz, did you see any of Alan Dershowitz yesterday? I mean, it's opposite world. He's arguing Nixon's argument. Well, if the president does it, it's not illegal.
Yep.
It's truly
and devastating. The Democrats are arguing what the Republicans said. I mean, it's all like so. That's why I'm not watching it. It's just such bullshit that I can't take it.
Right.
You know, you reminded me of something when Trump said during the campaign, I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and my supporters wouldn't care.
Yeah. And get away with
Remember
it.
That?
Yes, absolutely.
At that time, did we think there were 53 Republican senators that agreed with that?
No, I thought there had to be somebody with integrity, even on the Republican side, who would stand up and say, hold on a minute, the emperor's got no clothes. And none of them are willing to do it. And
none
it
of them.
Blows my
none
mind.
None of them. I mean, none certainly not the. Not. I think they need four to call witnesses. They don't have that.
And they're going to need more than four, though, Howie.
Because running around telling everybody that the witness thing is over and they're not calling any.
Right.
They're just going right for the cover-up tonight.
That's it. And the thing is, they would have needed four if they could count on all the so-called Democrats sticking together and all voting in lockstep the way the Republicans do. But as you have a piece up at DownWithTyranny.com right now, Howie, it's titled, Will the Three Worst Democrats in the Senate Vote to Acquit Trump? They want to. Not only would they vote to acquit Trump, the first step is to say, now we don't need no stinking witnesses. Now, I got to say, Doug Jones from Alabama, who'd been making those noises, did come out yesterday and said, no, we need to hear witnesses. However,
yeah, I mean, it's easy to ask for witnesses when they're not going to happen anyway.
Right.
So You know, so that's not a real problem. The thing with Doug Jones, he's not I know, or I feel that in his heart he would like to do the right thing, but he's up for re-election in I'm not making an excuse, by the way.
No.
But he's up for re-election in Alabama in November. If
right.
he votes for impeachment,
he's out.
There's a good chance he's going to lose his seat. However, if he votes against impeachment, he's going to depress the Democratic turnout.
Right.
And it's not like Democrats can turn out and vote for Trump. They're just not going to come to the polls to vote for him. That's what
right.
I think. You know, and maybe he's counting on the fact that they'll come to the polls because it's a presidential election, so it doesn't matter. But, I mean, I think he'd like to, unlike the other two, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema,
right.
I think that Jones would like to vote for impeachment, but not impeachment, but for conviction.
Right.
But he's just really torn up by the politics involved, you know, which is why people should be thinking about doing what's right. Easy enough for me to say,
yep.
but they should on both sides. They should be thinking about what's the right thing to do. What really, you know, why should Trump be impeached? That's what they should think. Is there evidence to impeach this guy? That's what they should be asking themselves instead of making political calculations, which is they're all doing, Republicans and Democrats.
And not only members of Congress, but regular people, voters, are trying to make political calculations. Well, this one can win. This one can't win. Throw that all away, because look at the last three presidential elections. First of all, nobody thought Barack Obama could win. Did you? I didn't. I was worried. I didn't think America was ready to elect a black man president. Thankfully, I was wrong. I mean, thankfully, but we can get into that in a minute. Donald Trump, nobody thought he had a chance in hell of winning. No way the Republicans were going to let him get through the nominating process. No way the American people would vote him in. And frankly, they didn't. The Electoral College did. But these were two people who were unelectable.
He didn't. He won the majority also.
Donald Trump?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Obama. Sorry.
No. Donald, I'm talking about Trump. He didn't win the popular vote, but the Electoral College elected him. So he legitimately, even though, you know, we can argue the legitimacy of the Electoral College, that's the way it works here, or doesn't work, as the case may be. But so this whole trying to figure out who can win is such bullshit. People need to just vote their hearts in the primary. Vote who you most agree with. Vote who you would like to see in the Oval Office in the primary. Deal with the general after, but in the primary, you shoot for the moon. You go for your fantasy. You go for who the best person in your viewpoint would be. And too many people won't go there because, oh, he can't win. Well,
right.
You know what?
And what you're saying isn't only true of presidential elections,
no.
which I know is the context of you bringing it up,
yeah.
but it's also true of congressional elections.
That's right.
You know, people do the same kind of trying to game it out, saying, well, I really like her. She's great. But she doesn't have as much of a chance because people don't want to vote for a woman or because she's too liberal. And then they vote for the conservative. And there's no guarantee the conservative is going to win anyway.
Right.
So, you know, it's a problem both in presidential races and in congressional, in all races. And that's why you should vote, especially in a primary, but anytime, you should vote for what you really want and really believe in. And, you know, poll after poll after poll is showing nobody wants Biden. I shouldn't say nobody, but,
no,
you know, outside of
exactly.
you know, the very rich and the very misinformed,
cool.
nobody wants Biden. But they think, well, he has the best chance to win. But that's insane. I think Biden is the least electable of any of the top Democratic candidates, literally the least electable. I mean, he's more electable than Tulsi Gabbard, but that's about it.
No, I agree totally. I totally agree. And, you know, but look, I see people making, you know, qualifications. Old Sage Joe in the chat room said, add the popular votes in 49 states, excluding California, and Trump did barely win. You can't exclude California. California is
California.
Part of the United
I don't get
States.
It. I mean,
That's
Trump
ridiculous.
Says that, too. I don't understand why somebody in
That's
your chat
bullshit.
Room would say that.
I
Based
don't either.
On what?
Why is he in California? What's the game he's playing?
I have no idea. He's echoing the right-wing propaganda. California is part of the United States. They deserve more than, you know, more representation in Congress, in the Senate, than North Dakota, who has the same representation in the Senate with I don't know, about a tenth of the population, and I just pulled that number out of thin air. But, you know, come on.
Oh, no,
you
can't, by the way, not a tenth.
Not even, I mean, close.
Much
like
less 100. Than a tenth.
Right.
I mean, basically, North Dakota has as many people as my neighborhood.
That's right, and you're not exaggerating. So you can't exclude California, and using that argument, I'm sorry, you're a friend of the show in the chat room, but that's a bullshit argument. You're echoing right-wing talking points, and it doesn't make sense.
I mean,
no, it's
just
nonsense.
I mean, I don't know that the guy is really making the argument for sake of argument, but if he's speaking from a point of goodwill, but what he is doing is making a point for no reason that makes no sense.
Exactly.
I don't know what's behind it.
I don't either.
But it just doesn't make any sense, like excluding California. So how about excluding Texas?
Yeah.
And then
Oklahoma
didn't win. I mean,
and Missouri.
What is that? Why? Why exclude anybody?
Well, that's why I brought it up, because don't do that anymore. Okay, so back to the piece that you have up and down with Tyranny, Howie, about the three worst Democrats. So you mentioned Doug Jones. Then, of course, there's Joe Manchin.
When I said worse, I meant worse in general.
Right.
They're not just worse about Trump and impeachment.
Everything.
They're just worse Democrats on every day and in every way when it comes to voting. They have the worst voting records. That's really what I was saying.
Yes, they do. So Joe Manchin, we've known all along. You know, look, he's in West Virginia. There's a question about what he can realistically do, but he's popular in West Virginia, isn't he? Can't
Very
he take
popular.
A stand?
He's turned the Democratic Party into the Joe Manchin Party.
Yeah.
There are a lot of efforts right now to regain the Democratic Party, and there's this West Virginia Can't Wait movement now, which is trying to say, you know, the Democratic Party isn't what it used to be. West Virginia, in our lifetimes, Nicole, not in ancient history, but while we were sentient beings in high school, West Virginia was the most dependably, reliably Democratic state in the whole United States. I mean, it was always West Virginia and Arkansas that gave the Democrats the most votes.
Wow.
And now they're not even contested anymore. And the Democratic Party in West Virginia is just a Joe Manchin vehicle. That's all it is, period, nothing else. And it's really a shame because this is a working class state, basically a blue collar state, where Democrats should be winning. And they're not, but they're not putting up a fight there because you don't have Democrats. You have the Joe Manchin Party.
Right, right. So that's the story.
And
he's
likely not going to ever run for anything again.
Right.
I don't see that happening. So he can really vote his conscience. I think his conscience
is
telling him to vote with Trump.
Yeah. Well, he even said, they made a very good case. No, they didn't. I watched much of their case until I just couldn't take it anymore. I mean, I'm sorry. Ken Starr, Alan Dershowitz, and Pam Bondi? Are you fucking kidding me? The three of them can't put a sentence together.
Joe
there was
Manchin
no case.
Sees there.
Right.
I don't get it.
Yeah, no idea whatsoever. So that's Joe Manchin. The third one, Kirsten Sinema, who, Howie, you've been warning
First
us about. Kirsten, you've been warning us about for years. And the thing is, she won't talk. She's like very close-lipped about where she stands on anything. So we have no idea where she is, or do we?
Well, we know what she does. So, you know, she's not saying what she's going to do, but you look at her record and you know what she does. So when it came time to confirm or deny William Barr, every Democrat said this is the worst, most horrible thing on the planet. Even really, really conservative Democrats said this is terrible. This guy is absolutely not fit to be Attorney General. He has proven himself unfit, but yet Kirsten Sinema voted for him. When you think about all of the damage that William Barr is doing now, just think about Kirsten Sinema saying, he'd be a great Attorney General.
Yeah. It's stomach turning.
It is stomach turning. And remember, there were Democrats, real Democrats, who wanted to run for that Senate seat in Arizona last cycle. And Chuck Schumer cleared the field for her. He got rid of everybody. He told everybody that they couldn't run, including a congressman who wanted a progressive congressman. And Chuck Schumer said, your political life will be over if you do this.
Exactly.
That's Chuck Schumer.
Right.
And now he's got this situation where he's trying to, or he seems to be trying to find Trump guilty and remove him from office. And who's the first and the worst person who he has to deal with, and it's Kyrsten Sinema.
Right. So we don't know. Doug Jones says the first question is going to be voting on witnesses tomorrow, and it's looking like, you know, Mitch McConnell has the votes to say, sorry, no witnesses. This is not a real trial.
I think all the Democrats are going to vote for witnesses.
Do you?
I do. I think all the Democrats will stick together on witnesses.
Cory Gardner said he won't.
Those three will then vote to acquit.
Okay, but Cory Gardner came out yesterday and said he doesn't think we need to hear from witnesses. He's going to vote against witnesses.
Cory Gardner is, you know, I have a post that I finished up, and it's coming out this evening at 5 Pacific time.
Okay.
And it talks about how Trump bribes people.
Yes.
And one of the first people that Trump successfully bribed in the Senate was Cory Gardner.
Really?
Cory Gardner is just a little shit, a coward, politically a coward.
Yeah.
And he, he was at first he was testing the waters, you know, when Trump first got in, you know, maybe he should oppose Trump since the state opposes Trump. Maybe he should.
Again, he's Colorado.
And Trump backed him down a few times. And Cory Gardner went and hid under a chair for a year.
Wow.
And then reinvented himself as a pro-Trumper. And that's what he is now. He's going to lose his seat, but he's making a calculation that Trump is going to help him. So Trump has. Trump sent out a fundraising letter for the guy.
Uh-huh.
So the way Trump is judging this is by this, because we'll be talking about this in a minute.
Okay.
They have a resolution that Republicans either sign on to or don't sign on to. And that resolution says there should be no witnesses and Trump should be exonerated and with no witnesses. So that's an actual resolution that the Republicans have. And Trump has been very, very clear. If they sign the resolution, he will help them financially. If they don't sign the resolution, he will not help them. So Susan Collins has said she's not signing. She's getting no help from him. Cory Gardner, you couldn't wait to knock people over to get them to get his name on that resolution. And he got a fundraising letter that raised hundreds of thousands of dollars. And Trump is going around the country and doing fundraising events for people like David Perdue in Georgia.
Wow.
David Perdue is very, very, very vulnerable. He could very well lose his seat. And he's got a really great candidate up against him, Teresa Tomlinson, the former mayor of Columbus.
Okay.
And she could beat him.
Good.
And he should lose his seat. It's terrible. When I talk about how bad Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin are,
yeah.
I mean, David Perdue is much worse.
Right. But I brought up, though, Howie, I brought up Cory Gardner for a reason, because you were talking about, you know, Chuck Schumer foisted Kyrsten Sinema on us. Well, in Colorado, it should be a no-brainer to get rid of Cory Gardner. But Chuck Schumer is pushing Fracken Looper on us when there's a perfectly good candidate that he's doing everything in his power to sabotage.
Right. In fact, the candidate who's in the primary, who's running against Fracken Looper, is Andrew Romanoff, the former Speaker of the House in Colorado, who's a great progressive candidate. He'd be a wonderful senator, and there's no reason why he shouldn't get a fair shot. But Schumer is going around telling everybody he could tell, meaning labor unions and other groups allied with the Democrats, don't do anything to help Romanoff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to their financial supporters and saying our friend is Fracken Looper, not Romanoff. And you know, I mean, why not? You know, didn't he ever learn? This is how Kyrsten Sinema got in, and he's going to do the same thing. He's going to try to do the same thing with Hickenlooper. And it's really a shame. Hickenlooper is terrible. He has a really bad record, and he's a liar. And he said it himself better than anybody, that he would make a terrible senator. Now, he didn't think he'd ever be running for Senate when he said that, but he said he would not make a good senator. And he was right. He wouldn't make a good senator, and he's not. If he gets in, he's going to be he'll be right up there with Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema as one of the worst senators there is, and that just suits Schumer just fine, just fine. And there is really no question that if Romanoff got the Democratic nomination, that he would beat Gardner. You know, right. I think Hickenlooper will too. I think either one of them would. But why not let the Democrats in Colorado make that decision, not Chuck Schumer?
Well, that's what it should be. And so imagine my surprise when I don't know how I got on the DCCC's email list, because I've never signed up for it. And every time they add me, I report them for spam and I unsubscribe. But then there it was again. 2 days ago, I get an email from the DCCC about their red to blue campaign and how Christy Smith in California's 25th is added to it. I'm sorry. There's a big primary out there. How does the party stick their finger on the scale for any candidate in a primary? That's not their role.
Right. So it used to be, I mean, they've always been doing it, but it used to be they would do it in a sneaky way. They would never admit they were doing it. They would go, "No, we don't do that. We don't do that." Now they don't even try to hide it anymore. Now they just right out flat doing it. They're saying that, you know, this is their party, meaning it's not our party, and they will do what they think is best. And if you don't like it, go screw yourself. Or as Joe Biden would say, go vote for somebody else.
Right. And do you believe he does that? That video, just everything about what's going on is so disconcerting. From this impeachment charade, because you know what? I agree with Trump. It's a charade, but for a totally different reason. The way the Republicans are treating it, it is gaslighting to the nth degree. They lie about everything they say. It's just, it's so upsetting. And then seeing the Democratic Party push these Republican light candidates all around the country is to what end? I guess they want Trump to have another term.
Well, you know, it just would say something to a lot of us who are progressives that if you look at the DCCC's list, just look at that red to blue program of who they're supporting. There are no progressives on it.
Nope.
There's one or two people who are not terrible, but no one is a progressive. There's one or two okay people, just okay.
Yep. Yep.
But everyone else, horrible, horrible, absolutely the worst crap. And they're in, like Christy Smith, they're in competitive primaries, and the DCCC puts its finger on the scale, and it's never for a progressive. It's always for a conservative. And the thing that history has taught us is that when they do that and they help to elect these conservatives, it takes one or two midterms and they're gone. Literally, all of them.
That's right.
That's what happened in 2010. Rahm Emanuel's DCCC worked really hard to get all these blue dogs and new Dems elected, and then every single one of them was defeated in the next midterm.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
Yeah.
It's like not even one stayed. Now, and yet the progressives who Rahm Emanuel's DCCC didn't work for, they didn't lose their seats. It was all the conservatives that the brains at the DCCC said, well, only these people can win.
Right.
That isn't true.
Right.
These
right.
people can't win. And when Democrats figure out who they are and independents figure out who they are and what they are, they don't vote for them. I'm not saying they vote for their opponents. They just don't vote for them. So Republicans come to the polls, vote in droves, Democrats sit it out, and their horrible incumbents lose their seats.
Right, right. And here we are again. By the way, for those wondering, the question and answer session, they're on a short break now. Supposedly, they'll be back in about 10 minutes or so. So that's going on. I was just going to make a point, and it totally just flew out of my mind. But I'm sure it'll come back when I'm not trying to think about it. So Howie, I mentioned earlier Obama, and I started to go here yesterday, and we've only got 5 minutes, so I probably shouldn't start, but I will anyway. I really think the reason we're in this mess right now, one of the main reasons, is because Barack Obama had no balls. Can you imagine if God forbid something happened to one of the Supreme Court justices. I'm not even going to name names because I don't want any bad karma. But something happened and Donald Trump gets another nominee. Can you imagine if Chuck Schumer, even if they had control, if Democrats had the majority in the Senate, would deny even a hearing for a new nominee, for a Trump nominee, that he would stand for it? Think back. Barack Obama sat for almost a year.
They changed the rules so that you don't need them to. They didn't even hold a hearing on Merrick Garland.
Right. Didn't even hold a hearing on Merrick Garland. They held that seat open for almost a year while Barack Obama was still president. Do you think Donald Trump would let the Democrats get away with that?
No.
No. Barack Obama did not fight back. He didn't stand up. He didn't fight back. He rolled over to the Republicans because he wanted everyone to like him. He wanted to make a grand bargain. He wanted to be bipartisan and be postpartisan and post-racial. And, you know, and they were never going to play ball with him. Donald Trump at least is playing hardball and won't give an inch. Barack Obama gave a
ball with Joe Biden.
No, hell no. They're not going to play ball with anybody, but I would like someone with some balls who's going to stand up to them.
Would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It's just
I don't want to get into, thinking about how disappointing Obama was, although I think we see eye to eye on that.
Yeah.
It could have been a lot worse, could have been a lot better, but it is what it is.
It could have been. It could have gone either way.
What shocks me is people who think that he was the bee's knees and one of the great presidents.
The best president of our lifetime. Well, I hate to say it. That's not saying much. But he really wasn't. He didn't stand up. Yes, we got the Affordable Care Act, and for that I'm forever grateful. It's probably the only reason I'm alive today. However, he didn't fight back against Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell ran over him. And I really think it's because they didn't fight back that we're being rolled today by Donald Trump.
Yep. And, when you say he didn't fight back, it wasn't just not fighting back against Mitch McConnell. He didn't fight back against anything.
No.
I mean, when the Democrats moved in to take out the, what would have put us on the road to Medicare for all
the public option
again?
The public option. He said no. He gave it away. He gave it away.
He didn't fight back against that too. He could have stopped that.
Yeah,
that could have happened.
Yeah, yeah.
But and I'm just using that as an example. But time after time after time, Obama disappointed progressives who didn't really pay close attention to his record. I mean, he was never really a progressive. He was in the state legislature. He had a record in the state legislature. He was okay. He was right in the middle. He was a middle center Democrat.
Yeah.
And when he got into the U.S. Senate, same thing.
Right.
He was right in the middle.
And the thing is, the Republicans called him the most liberal senator in the Democratic Party. It was bullshit. And for those of people who are freaking out, they're gonna call Bernie Sanders a socialist, and
they're gonna call Joe Biden
a socialist.
They call every Democrat that.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter who you run.
Exactly.
You run a right wing Democrat, and they would call him the most liberal in the history
Joe
of the
Biden.
Universe.
They'll call Joe Biden a socialist. They'll say the same things about him as they say about Bernie Sanders. It doesn't matter.
Exactly the same things. No question about it. Because it's what they do.
That's right.
And it's the only song they know.
Yep. But the whole smear campaign is on because Bernie is now surging in the polls. So that not only has the right jumped on him, but the Democratic Party, the party elders, are all over his shit. Here, it's history repeating itself yet again.
Absolutely. They're running ads slandering Bernie everywhere. Fortunately, it's not working. It's not working with Democrats, and let's hope it doesn't work with independents and Republicans.
Yeah.
But they are they're now slandering Bernie, smearing him every spending huge. I mean, there's already been one super PAC already put $700,000 into primary states, just lying about Bernie and trying to paint him into something that's an other.
Yeah.
Trying to make him not one of us. He's an other.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And they're doing it again. Just when you thought maybe they learned a lesson from what happened in 2016? No, they didn't. And Michael Bloomberg, who talks out of both sides of his mouth and said in one breath, oh, if I don't win the primary, I will put my whole machine behind whoever the candidate is. I'll spend $1 billion to defeat Donald Trump. And then behind closed doors, he says, I'm really in this to keep Bernie Sanders from getting the nomination. Really?
Yes, really.
Yeah. Oh, my God. We are so screwed.
Really.
We are so screwed. Howie Klein, any words of wisdom to get us? I'm really worried about tomorrow. I think tomorrow is going to be one of the darkest days in American history. How do we get through this?
Just think about Bernie as president.
Okay. All right. Well, we can fantasize for a while longer, about, 10 months or so. Anyway, Howie Klein, as always, thank you so much. Find Howie at downwithtyranny.com and support the candidates that he's endorsed at Blue America. Thanks, Howie. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for calling next week.
Bye. And tomorrow, just so you know, tomorrow we are... I've been trying to get Ellie Mistal back on the program. If you're not following him on Twitter, he's been live tweeting these hearings, the trial, the impeachment trial, and he's amazing. And now he's writing full time for The Nation. Ellie Mistal is a national gem. He, I believe, is going to join us at some point tomorrow. And Lisa Graves, who was the chief counsel for that Senate Judiciary Committee. This is her thing. She's had a throat infection and has been on bed rest and voice rest for over a week now, so she hasn't been able to talk. I think the doctor last night cleared her. She also will join us tomorrow. We may do an extended show tomorrow. We may come on like an hour early. So, just letting you know, we just might. So come check out the YouTube channel and the stream early, because we've got a lot of territory to cover. All right. With that, we're done. I don't think the Senate is back yet. They will be shortly. I will say goodbye and I'll see you tomorrow. Heads up, everyone. Call your senators. 224-3121. 202-224-3121. Tell them we need witnesses. Not that it's going to do any good at this point, but call them anyway because they're not getting enough phone calls. All right. With that, I'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Thanks for listening. Good luck. As Brad Friedman says, good luck, world.